The woman sat, very ladylike, on the edge of the chair with crossed ankles and began to fumble with her handbag. I have my old driver's license in here if you need identification, although I haven't driven in a very long time, so the picture is a little old, but... Hatteras was shuffling through papers and didn't even glance up when he interrupted. That's all right, dear. No need. I have everything I need, right? Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Ah, here we go. Mrs. Margaret Ellis, born April 4th, 1921, died June 6th, 2009. Correct? Well, I go by Margie. Have since my husband and I got married back in... Yes, I see that noted here. And how is your husband? Will we be seeing him soon? Hatteras was never very good with small talk, but was exceptionally good at making the humans feel uncomfortable. What? Well, was all that Margie got out. Good, good, very well. I think this all checks out. His hand automatically shot out and grabbed the flashlight from the left side of his desk. He pointed it at Margie and flicked it on, causing her to blink rapidly and turn away. What the hell was that for? She yelled. Oh, right. Please, look into the light. He half-heartedly waved the light back and forth. Please, follow the light. Margie just stared at him. He hated it when they did that. He didn't write the regulations. He just shut up and followed orders. People were told to expect seeing a bright light and being told to follow it. He had no clue why. He gave up trying to figure out the latest death customs centuries ago. One day it's carrying your organs around in a jar, the next day it's stuffing your mouth full of flowers. He had really hated the flowers, having to end each interview with having the person pick up the slobbered-on petals that fell out of their mouth when they tried to talk. It made him sick. He stamped her paperwork in triplicate, handed her the goldenrod copy, and pointed to the door opposite where she had come in. There you are, madam. Please take this to the bridge and show it to the nice man with the dogs there. He'll point you in the right direction. Good luck. Margie took the proffered paper and with an ever-so-soft grunt pushed herself out of the cheap chair. With a crazy backward glance, she walked out the door to meet her fate. Hatteras glanced at the clock on the wall. He didn't know why. Time was meaningless in his office, but the boss thought it was a nice touch to have a clock. Make the humans feel at home, he had said. Same with the decor. Apparently modern humans were used to waiting in lines and dealing with bureaucracy in nasty offices. They would get very nervous and not trust an afterdeath that went too smoothly. Hatteras thought the humans were daft, but what the boss wanted is what the boss got. His boss was, of course, Anubis. Not that you saw him around much anymore. Anubis had been delegating most of the operation off to his staff for the past 1,000 years or so. First there were the management meetings, seasonal parties, that sort of thing. Eventually, those stopped, and Hatteras hadn't actually seen Anubis for at least 350 years, maybe longer. Didn't really matter. Things ran just fine without him. Once you ferried 1 billion souls, the next couple billion after that seemed pretty much the same. Times and customs may change, but dead people were still dead people. Oh well, enough belly aching, he thought. These souls aren't going to stack themselves. He called out, next, and picked up the next file in the stack. He flipped open the folder, and without looking up, he read off, Ah, Mr. Watson, very good, how are we today? Mr. Watson didn't speak. He didn't sit down. Instead, he came very close to Hatteras's desk and loomed over him, blocking out the light on the paperwork. Hatteras glanced up just in time to get out a slight eek before the thing that was definitely not Mr. Watson ate him.